Now entering Nerdist.com.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
I'm overwhelmed. I know that somebody at one point dressed as an orgasm at this costume shop I'm friends with.
What does that look like?
I don't know. It was years ago, and I asked the owner, what's the craziest costume? And she said an orgasm, and she just sort of put on a lot of capes with a lot of wired things coming out. It was just like an explosion. Like, everything was radiating
and there was
outward.
Just like fluid constantly coming out of the costume.
That was a very masculine-centric orgasm costume.
I think
it was more the sensation of orgasm.
Right, I get it. But women also come, you know what I mean?
That's true. I think that is a separate...
I actually wasn't thinking of semen at all.
Fluid?
Yeah.
That would be funny with a spray bottle, though. Like, I'm an orgasm. Like, when people ask you what you are.
Like, that you just sounded like a very aggressive orgasm.
Yeah, that's the sound my vagina makes when it... Doesn't.
Now you've let the world know that.
It sounds like a single shooter game. Okay, so hello. Welcome to the show. I'm Sandra Doherty. Welcome. We're going to be talking about sex today, maybe some relationship stuff. It's going to be great. I would just like to start off with something really embarrassing that happened to me this week, which is that I had a very strange hitting on experience.
Oh, no.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
It was really uncomfortable in that I had no idea how to handle the masculine energy coming at me from this person.
Whoa, what did he do?
It was that we were two nerds uniting in nerddom and talking about chemistry and a lot of brain stuff. And it was just really cool. We were really connecting. But then, like, there was just this point where all you could do is spew more nerd facts at each other. And it was
sure.
Just this constant, like, torpedoes of information going back and forth. And I just was, like, starting to die inside because it wasn't going anywhere because neither one of us felt like moving on to the next step in the flirtation game. And so it just ended with, like, a really loving hug and then, like, a parting of ways because we couldn't do anything about it. It was just this really awkward. Yeah, I got to up my game, guys. I mean,
I've been there.
Yeah.
Sounds like he needs to up his game, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, people. Yeah, I think half the population probably needs to tweak their game.
Sure.
Yeah. Today, we're going to be talking about sexuality, female sexuality, wellness in sexuality, and we'll be talking about relationships. Actually, I'm very excited. And
I don't know anything about any of that.
No?
It's a joke. But, yeah.
I think there's a little bit of truth to that.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth.
That.
So, especially the relationships part.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, this is so exciting.
I'm going to learn.
So I have Lara Catone in the studio today. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Oh, yay. Okay.
Lara Catone. I like that name so much.
Yes, it's like my name is pronounced Sandra.
And mine is pronounced Dave.
David. Okay, I'll try and remember that, Dave.
Please. It's Dav.
That'd be so annoying if your name was pronounced Dav.
Yeah, well, I would be very different. I would be a very different person.
Aww.
I would be the douchebag that said, it's Dav. So.
And then we'd all judge you.
Yep.
And then judge ourselves.
Yep.
You, Lara, you have a series of workshops that you teach on adult sex ed, but you started off as a doula.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get from being a birth doula? Oh.
What is that?
Yeah. Most people don't know. So thank you for asking.
Never heard that word before. Yeah.
A birth doula is a person that educates couples, or sometimes I work with single women around birth, and you do education beforehand, and then you're their support person through their labor. So it's, people are like, is it like a midwife? But no, we're really there mostly for emotional support. And when there's a partner involved, helping the partner to be involved, because when your partner's giving birth, generally it's like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. Like, I thought I was going to be there. We took all the classes, but now it's happening and it's really intense and I'm like a deer in headlights. So you help navigate that whole situation. And, it's like continuous care through the birth, let's see, last year, the shortest birth I had, I think, was 27 hours or something
Holy
like that.
Crap.
So it's you know, you're there with them through the whole thing, and then you follow up postpartum.
Do you mean that from the moment the woman realizes, oh, my God, I think I'm going into labor, and to when after the baby comes out, that's 26 hours? Or are you talking about before and after care?
Actually, I try not to meet up with them till they're really in labor. So they're usually in labor for a while before I even see them. But this is, yeah, from the time that I meet up with them. And they're usually, you know, I guess most of these women were in early, what's called early labor, beginning stages. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they have the baby, they get settled in and breastfeeding, and then you go home and sleep for 2 days.
Oh, my God. So you're like, it's like working in television and film production where you just work
for
just through the night sometimes and you're just so tired.
Wow.
Yeah. It prepared me for producing, actually.
Yeah. Awesome. That's right, because you just produced your partner's pilot. That's right. This is a myth that I've heard. Not myth. I mean, it might be true, but I haven't actually looked up research on this. But I hear that when you do give birth, that you can have an extraordinarily strong orgasm.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
There's no birth and sexuality are so connected.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like part of my passion and my mission is to bring them back together because, you know, birth has been turned into this like medicalized thing over here. And we forget that like it's the culmination of our sexuality, mm-hmm. you know. So all of those bundles of nerves that are behind the cervix that, you know, can get stimulated during sex and create orgasm, that's actually the same place that the baby's head presses on to make you go into contractions.
Are you talking about what people call the U-spot?
The
bundle of nerves right before you get to the cervix but up through...
It's behind the cervix.
Behind meaning if I were putting my hand at the cervix and pressing up, it would be beyond the cervix. Because I'm thinking the uterus is just beyond the cervix. So when you say, is it like more toward the belly button?
It's on the in the vagina,
mm-hmm.
on the back wall of the vagina. So, so toward the tailbone.
Okay. So when you say behind, you mean like I'd have to pass the cervix with my hand and then press up or just press directly to the back?
Directly to the back or maybe up, depending on where the cervix is that day.
Okay. Yeah. So just past there.
Yeah.
Interesting. Do you know where, can you imagine where that is, Dave?
Yeah. Sort of, I think. I mean, you said near the tailbone. That makes sense.
Yeah.
At the back of the vagina. Yeah. Okay.
There's just so much stuff back there.
I know.
I'm constantly trying to imagine. It's like I'm constantly Fisher pricing, like it's like little tiny parts in my mind and I'm moving them around. So I'm like, where is the back? Which back?
Well, to help people like kind of get a feeling in their own bodies. So, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes deep penetration and mm-hmm. hard pounding feels amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's because the cervix is kind of lifted up out of the way and expose these nerves. And then other times the cervix is in the way of these nerves if you're not in full arousal or because the cervix moves.
Doesn't it tilt forward when you get turned on?
Yeah, it kind of actually gets sucked up into the body almost, like moves up towards the uterus, creating more space. It actually makes the vagina longer. It moves out. And then these nerves are exposed. So when you're having like that deep pounding that feels like amazing, same nerves that are stimulated when you're giving birth mm-hmm. and that tell your body, oh, it's time to push.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm so excited that you're here telling me these things.
So at which point you said an incredibly potent orgasm can happen while a woman's giving birth. At which point during giving birth? I mean, does it happen multiple times?
It can be when these nerves are stimulated. So when the baby's head is coming down. And oftentimes women do experience this as sort of like, if not pleasurable, like a relief
mm-hmm.
in a way. But what I would love to educate more women on is stimulating themselves, stimulating their clitoris and getting really juicy for childbirth because mm-hmm. that sets you up for having an orgasmic birth. And the juicier your tissues are, the more easily everything's going to open.
Sure.
It's just
so
like
pre-birth arousal.
Yes.
Especially at the time when the baby starts actually moving.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And, you know, at that point, there's an amazing video out there that people can look up. Her name's Amber. I don't know if you probably Google Amber's like orgasmic birth. It's the most amazing thing you've ever seen. I mean, she literally is just has orgasm over after orgasm after orgasm, and it wasn't planned, it just happened.
I usually will put, like, if something is mentioned in conversation, I'll usually put the links on my website, sexnerdsandra.com, after. So
okay.
That will, unless it disappeared, it will be on my website once okay. This podcast comes out. So
awesome.
I put a note. Okay. You know what's funny is I don't want to actually procreate in my own life. I sort of made that choice for me that it's not something I feel like doing, but I so want to have the experience of giving birth just so I can be like, oh, now I get it. Ow. Now I get it. Ooh.
Yeah. I have the same thing. Sometimes I vacillate between wanting children and not wanting children, but I do want to give birth. And most people are like, I don't want to do the birth part. I just want to have a kid. But I really, you know, especially after seeing like, you know, over 50 women give birth, I would like to experience it, know what it's like.
Yeah, it's like
be surrogate moms.
Totally. I'd be like, yeah. I'd feel weird getting paid for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I definitely want the experience.
I'd feel great about it. But then I wouldn't, you know. I don't have a uterus, is what I'm saying.
Right. You can donate in a different way.
What way?
With your time. wait, there was something that you said that, I mean, I found all of that really interesting in Amber's orgasmic birth. What kind of exercises or how do you suggest that a couple, when she's like, oh God, I'm going through labor. I'm totally going through labor. What do you suggest they do to get aroused? Is there something specific, or is it just whatever they know to do anyway with their usually?
Yeah, actually, I think it starts before you get to that point. I mean, the earlier you're aware of any of this stuff, the more set up you can be when the birth comes. And something as huge as giving birth, like the more prep you do beforehand, generally the easier it's going to be. So pelvic floor massage is, you know, there's this whole protocol on vaginal massage, it's called perineal massage, stretching the tissues. And typically it's taught in childbirth classes and stuff is this kind of like very clinical thing, but it can be sexy, like, you know, get her all juicy and massage her and get her tissues, you know, stretched out and ready. And so she's used to having different sensation in her pelvic floor.
When you say pelvic floor, I mean, I imagine there's a whole network of muscles around there. Uh-huh. So, like, just imagining a female on her back, are you talking about a 360-degree massaging of just all the vaginal walls?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And even, like, kind of stretching, but not, you know, once she's, like, really aroused and turned on, that will feel good at that point.
And are you, like, putting a few fingers in and then, like, kind of pressing out, kind of like the rays of a sun? If the circle is the sun, you doing the rays outward.
Exactly.
That's right. Trying to be visual because this is in your ears, not for your eyes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, doing some prep and practice beforehand. And we hold a lot of tension in all those muscles in our pelvic floors. And this is a whole nother tangent I like to go off on. But, you know, it's like this one part of our body that isn't allowed to get massaged for some reason, and we don't think about when it's like literally the epicenter of all the muscles in our body connecting the lower half and the upper half. So we forget that there's like all this stuff that we're carrying around there that's tension. And yes,
I kind of do want to talk about that because it's kind of a tangent, but it's also really important. I have a feeling you know a lot about this, but I've noticed, like, as a female, I mean, don't worry guys, I've got plans for a lot of male-focused podcasts, so you're covered. But we are talking about some chick stuff right now.
Damn right.
Yeah, man bits will be coming soon. Even
fellas,
though
I made sure. So don't worry.
So that was the side. But as a female, and if I'm stressed or if, you know, something is sad in my life, I don't want anything inside me.
Mm-hmm.
Because masturbation, I'm generally like, more pressure in different places, the better. I'm, you know, greedy that way. But when it comes to there being any sort of trauma in my life at that time, work, stress, whatever, I don't want to really go internal. And there's this sort of closing up that happens. And I think what it is that I'm storing tension and I really just don't want to deal with what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And so I just don't want to go there. And it's a totally body focused sort of, it's just such an incredible link between my mind and my vag. Hey. And I've thought about this because a lot of women who want to talk to me about their sexuality don't want to go inside when they're alone. I leave that for their partners. Usually we just assume it's because they want it to be special or they don't really want to necessarily, it's just not important for some reason to them. But I'm thinking it might also be psychological stress that they mm-hmm. don't want to deal with. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're onto something like avoiding what might be there. Mm-hmm. You know, mind, body, spirit connection. Mm-hmm. And there's emotional stuff. Our muscles hold emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And especially our girly bits, especially if our hearts are broken or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it might be triggering old stuff. Yeah, that's going to be held in our pelvic floors, in our vaginas. And I always think of women as like flowers, you know, there's all these images of the vulva is like this opening flower. And it's so true. Yeah. It's so true, though. We have to, like, if we're closed off emotionally, we don't want to be entered, you know, mm-hmm. typically. And, you know, when we're open, when we're feeling safe, then that's typically when mm-hmm. we have rocking sex. Like, we feel right. good, you know?
It's kind of like what, oh, yes, Dave? He breathed in heavily. I figured that meant that he wanted to talk.
I would actually say that you're talking about this being a girl talk for females right now. I would say that this is something for guys to pay attention to. You know, yeah. when I heard you say that, I thought, oh, that's – I feel like I do okay. But I, you know, keeping in mind that if your partner, your female partner is upset or not feeling very well, don't push it. You know what I mean? Don't think that that's the solution to the problem.
Mm-hmm. What was your tangent about? Because you're like, oh, that's a tangent. I totally thought you were going to go there.
Oh, well, just the pelvic. I did sort of like the pelvic floor and how it's ignored and not, you know, it's mm-hmm. not allowed to be massaged and it's covered up and all that.
It's like we're supposed to be in the vag, but we're not actually pressed. It's like, okay, you can press the G-spot and then maybe kind of try that one spot that you read about on Cosmo near the cervix. But other than that, the walls are just an encompassing place for penises at the end.
Right.
But really, if you just push... If you were to just press on all of that tissue, you'd find a lot of sensation.
Well, yeah. And also the fact that, you know, either it's a lover that's touching that area yourself or it's this very clinical medical mm-hmm. thing. But why can't there be loving touch from a professional that's, you know, like sex bot or mm-hmm. that's, you know, why don't we massage people's pelvic floor tension
mm-hmm.
in general? That's a question I have.
Right. Because that's a kind of a fuzzy line in terms of pleasure, like sexual pleasure versus right. healing. Because it's all sexual health, really.
Yeah.
And even if it feels really good, I mean, sometimes when I'm getting massage, I'm like, oh my God, that feels so good.
Right.
Oh my God.
And it goes, I think it comes back to the whole shame. It's part of the like shame message. Like, you can be naked, but you have to cover up your butt and your genitals and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that message is sending, but I have mm-hmm. thoughts about it.
Yeah. And then like European movies and they're just kind of just.
Yeah.
Like in an American movie, if a woman's showering, she's like sponging real slow and like, oh, this is a sexy moment in the movie. In a European movie, they're like, yeah, I'm taking a shower. This is me showering. Now this is me toweling off. And now we're going to go talk to the guy and forward movement on the plot. It's really not a big deal. Dave, I have
yes.
a question for
sure.
you.
Sure.
You're a dude.
Yes. Is that the question?
No, it was a statement to preface my question. Do you feel, I mean, we're talking about tension in the body, closing off when you're stressed. Do you feel like there's anything as a male? I mean, you're just one dude, but like, I feel like you have a pretty good self-awareness. Like, what happens to your body like when life is a little bit stressful or?
I mean, well, it depends. Sex and masturbation are certainly a huge help for me with stress. Mm-hmm. Like that's a definite, But if I'm having problems, like if my stress is coming from the relationship that I'm in, mm-hmm. there are times where there have been a lot of times where sex was either not something I wanted to do or something that really didn't help. Mm-hmm. Where like really what would have helped in that moment would have been affection, you know, mm-hmm. Discussion, talking, some sort of like rebuilding an emotional bond with the person before mm-hmm. having sex. And then after, you know, after I would get myself back on good ground with her, then the sex would be amazing. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like totally. Makeup sex, you know? Right. But no, like when it really comes down to it, like on a very basic level, mm-hmm. I have been insanely stressed out and felt horrible and have masturbated and then I'm much better. And actually this is something that I realized again just recently because mm-hmm. If I'm being honest, mm-hmm. past like 3-4 days, I mm-hmm. felt horrible, mm-hmm. horrible. And then last night I realized I haven't masturbated in like 4 days. And and I did, and I felt great. And you're talking like stressed out and like in my head and overanalyzing everything social and like and girls don't like me. I don't have any friends, like stuff. Like I'm like, what's going on? I have so much work to do. And I'm just like, I go around to open mics and comedy shows. I'm like, I hate this. I hate comedy.
Your face.
And, yeah.
He's making these crazy faces of anger.
Yeah. And then I masturbated a few times. And
Yeah, it just dissipates. Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, funny enough, I was giving a very close friend sex advice late at night last night. And I'm like, I've been really stressed. Like every moment for the last week has just been taken up with something. Like, here's your advice, blah, 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 blah. And at some point they're like, you seem really up. Like, I'm just going to go because you're really tense right now. It's like, no, I want to give you good advice. I want to give you, and then more information. And then when I got home, I was like, wait a minute. Why am I so snappy? It's like, it's just like snippy right now. And I'm like, I haven't come in a really long time. So I just went crazy. And it was good. So now I'm calm now. See, this is me calm. This is a nice thing. I'm relaxed.
But perhaps that's something different than what Laura was talking about.
Totally.
I think I totally went off the rails there.
We're just talking about masturbation as relaxation now.
I think you touched on it because you were saying sometimes there's an emotional funkiness or something. And at those times where you just want to have affection or be close to someone.
Right.
Versus like, orgasm is a great way to let off some steam and like get back in your body when you're really in your head. And
mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
No, but there are certainly times where like that I can think of where I've reached like an emotional like boiling point mm-hmm. and the solution to that has been sex. Mm-hmm. And I didn't necessarily go seeking it. It just happened. And then afterward, it's just like, Jesus Christ. So I would say I don't have an answer to your question because both have been true for me that I have wanted sex during emotional turmoil and have been sort of disgusted by it also during some other emotional turmoil.
Okay. I guess it's also not invasive. Like guy sexually is on the outside.
It's different.
So your muscle. Sometimes I'll massage the pelvic. Do you know much about like male muscle stress in the genital region and how to access this from say someone's not comfortable with like internal anal play, like external places you can massage a guy mm-hmm. to release stress. Do you know about that? Mm-hmm. Like do you got any good tips for that?
Well, certainly, like, if they're not comfortable with internal, like, around the anus, I mean, it doesn't even have to be that close to the anus, but if you think of that area around, and then, like, you know, the sit bones, those little bony bits that stick out.
At the kind of the top of the cheeks?
Bottom that you sit on. Yeah.
Okay. Like right the sweet spot where the cheeks meet the thigh, like right in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a really delicious place.
That's juicy.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, sometimes I'll just sort of take my fist and sort of just knead in mm-hmm. like the cheeks. Like that's fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. See, everybody, you can play with boys too and make them less stressed through muscle release. I totally forgot to do just the tip at the beginning. This is a really good moment to do that. You want to go first, Laura?
Sure.
Okay. What is your tip for today?
My tip for today is around communication. I kind of get like two general questions all the time, it seems, about communication. One is people who are single and mm-hmm. like dating, and they're like, okay, so how do I bring up like sex and STIs and all this stuff if I'm interested, especially men, because they're interested in a girl and they don't want to make assumptions about things. So that's one of the questions. And then the other question is usually around, you know, people who are in relationships and want new things or, you know, want to discuss things about sex, but they don't know how to. So, and it's because, and then they say, oh, well, if we talk about it or set boundaries, then we're not being spontaneous and that takes away from it. And we just want to be spontaneous. So what I want to say is communication gives you freedom. Mm-hmm. From both perspectives. So if you're dating and you're interested in someone, you don't have to assume they're going to sleep with you, but you can say, hey, I like where this is going. And it's important for me to have a discussion before, you know, you're inside me or whatever, mm-hmm. before we get to that point. Because as we know, once we get to that point, it's kind of hard to start talking about mm-hmm. it. And I feel like, you know, I call it like new paradigm. You have to. The new paradigm. We have to put ourselves out there. Those of us who are conscious and want to have these discussions, it's scary, but just put yourself out there. People will appreciate it if you're open about your sexuality and trying to be safe and all of that.
Do you have any good sort of a good prompt of how to start the sentence or how to just go into it?
Well, kind of like what I was saying, like, you know, I like where this is going.
Oh, yeah. Was good.
Yeah.
I like where this is going. Would I say that to someone?
Or
what would I say? Hey, I'm finding you very sexy right now. Can we talk about that? I'd probably be like bringing it up the most awkward way. I like your way better.
Both of those things would be nice to hear.
Mm-hmm, you know what that's true.
Certainly helps. Yeah. Move things along. Sure.
I think it makes you feel taken care of when someone's like, hey, like, you know, we should have a conversation like about birth control. You know, are you on the pill? Do you use condoms? You know, have mm-hmm. you been STD tested? These are things that we should be talking about, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Yes, that's so important. That's what I like.
I disagree. I think we should never talk about that.
We should never talk about that. It should always be.
I have every STD and I'm fine with it.
Whoa, that's.
You should be too.
You're collecting.
I'm collecting. I collect STDs. That's what I do.
Nice.
Yeah.
Classy.
Classy. Yeah.
That's a great tip. Mine is manually focused. So my tip for today is because I've been thinking about this, about how. No matter what sex tip or sex book you read, and you're like, oh, rub with your thumbs up this way or do a little pepper grinder motion or whatever it is that you're trying to implement, there's this sort of going through the motions that people will do where they just sort of do the thing like up, down, or like in, out. But there's – the only way I can describe it is when you're pleasuring someone, no matter what you're doing, think of it like – think about the feeling of kneading dough and how you, it's sort of like when you massage a back. Some people are really kind of awkward around massage mm-hmm. and there's sort of this like skin pulling thing they'll do, but you really want to kind of dig into the person in this very methodical way. And the only way I've found it helpful is think of kneading dough and you're really kind of going into the dough and out again and you just go over and over and there's this sort of fluidity that comes from motions when you're having to work with dough or Play-Doh or silly putty, work with the metaphor, whatever you want to think of. But think about that movement and integrate that into whatever pleasure you're giving your partner because it's really helpful and it's like extra essential when you do that. Yeah. That's my tip for today.
Good tip.
Hey, guys. This is the part where I talk about how awesome our sound recording equipment is because we got it from Carvin. Carvin.com. For all of your audio equipment needs, they provide microphones and cables and all kinds of good stuff. But I really do appreciate it because we're trying to do something amazing here, bringing cool things to your ears.
Yeah.
And thank you, Carvin. We love you.
Carvin loves sex.
Yeah.
Check it right on their website, carvinlovesex.com. That's where you can buy their amps and speakers and stuff. Carvinlovesex.com.
And I have a feeling they probably love cuddling too. I'm sure they're really big. Carvin's great.
They must.
Yeah.
I'm going to go in there now down the street and tell them
and
that.
Cuddle with them.
Yeah,
look, cuddle. I want to buy a microphone and some cuddling.
Yes. Ooh. Oh my God. I bet you could sell cuddling. Like that could be a service that you could.
You could absolutely sell cuddling. There have been days where I would love to buy a cuddle. Are you kidding?
Oh my God. I should just be a cuddle dungeon. Cuddler.
Yeah,
a cuddle
for dungeon. Real. Cuddle cave. You could call it a cave. Cuddle cave. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm hearing the term cuddle puddle.
Cuddle puddle. Yeah. I run the cuddle puddle at Fountain and Vine.
That could get creepy real fast.
Yeah.
Wandering hands.
Sure.
But I do love some cuddling. It's good. Pause. Okay, so we did that. And then we talked about cuddling. Oh, before we bring Will up, really fast. Okay, so we are going to bring in Lara's partner. Actually, is it okay if I call him partner? Boyfriend? A friends with benefits? Man?
Father.
Man toy. Partner.
Yeah. I generally use my partner for everybody.
Partner. But
we're not married.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I just, it's so neutral, but some people prefer other labels, so.
Like king?
No, like Lara's like Mary.
Sultan will
Mary
be coming in.
The Dom. Mm-hmm. She has a very, they're a really strong partner. Like, she has a very strong partner, but she prefers to call him man friend.
Right.
Like, in all the sex ed stuff, like, she just called him his man friend.
By the way, I'm going to say this really quickly.
Is this on the record or off the record?
Well, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
But Mary, this probably, no, it should be off. It should be off.
Okay.
Mary was this dominatrix on the show who was talking about how she was getting into furry sex and how she bought an angry chicken mascot costume and a blue elephant mascot costume at a garage sale or a yard sale. Well, it turned out, we found out during the podcast that she had bought them from my old roommate from the house that I used to live in.
Wow.
Because we've shot some sketches and movies with those things in them. I was like, what the fuck? And then I told Gavin about it, who's the one that sold them to her. Mm-hmm. And he goes, dude, I knew they were fucking in those things. Those people look weird.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think I've told you, but I've connected with an animator who's a big fan of the podcast.
Really?
And he really wants to animate that section of the podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, he's going to listen to more of it and see if there's something else, but he's really inspired by the Angry Chicken, so that might happen.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I can't wait till I have times, and he has time, so we can meet up and talk about it, but yeah. So.
Also, the part where
the baby powder?
Yeah, the baby powder. Oh man, that's a stand-up joke that I do now.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah, it does really well.
Oh, we'll have to talk about that later. But like, oh, anyway, the Dominatrix or Dungeon Dom podcast episode is, I think it's pretty amazing. She's so funny. I didn't want to bottle her up and drink her. That's weird.
Yeah, it's pretty creepy.
Don't tell her I said that. Oh God. Okay, getting back to the subject. Okay. So we're going to bring in Lara's partner and we're going to talk about relationships for a little bit too, because they've got some really interesting stuff to say and I love hearing about it. But first I want to ask you one quick question.
Okay.
Internal versus external orgasm. Mm-hmm. As a sex educator on female bodies, there's this like clitoral versus G-spot versus U-spot versus P-spot versus all these friggin' spots. What are your thoughts? I know that there's different nerve pathways to mm-hmm. the different sections of the genitalia, but can you speak a little
bit? Yes, I'm also curious about all these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, please, internal versus external orgasms.
Okay.
And it's a big topic, but nerd out with me.
Okay.
Bring it.
So, first of all, I think there are – I experience – and, you know, I can only speak for what I experience in my body. That's the way I teach. I don't mm-hmm. teach what I read in books. I teach what I read in books and then – experiment with myself, you know?
Yeah.
So I believe that I experience clitoral orgasms sometimes very external and mm-hmm. very, those tend to be the super intense, I need a rest after orgasms. And then I also, because the clitoris has legs, mm-hmm. as we know, I don't know if you've talked about this on your show.
We have a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So the clitoris goes deeper into the body than we think. Mm-hmm. And so I often experience more deep internal clitoral orgasms. Mm-hmm. And then I think there's tons of different orgasms you can have. I could have an orgasm right now, just an energetic orgasm, just sitting here with you guys.
Oh my God. I've gone to energy sex workshops and wait, I haven't. What? Yeah. Like different like energetic orgasms. It's like, I want to like bring people in and talk about Tantra or like maybe another podcast. I can do a panel or something.
I mean, yoga is, I started having this experience in my body of this like movement and this shaking and this like, ooh, this feels really good. But I didn't have the languaging for it until I met my teacher, Jaya, who comes from a Tantra background and teaches a lot about energetic sex. And then I was like, oh yeah, like this has been happening to me for a while. And then once I realized like what it was and the possibilities, it kind of like went through the roof. So, yeah, so I can just, you know, like think about stuff or squeeze my pelvic floor muscles and kind of have little tiny orgasms all day long.
Oh, so they are, you are still triggering these energetic orgasms through the genital region, but you're feeling them full body.
Sometimes it's just with a deep breath or a thought, but I can do it with squeezing and releasing of the pelvic, like a Kegel.
Yeah, so doing your Kegels accesses a whole range of connection with your erotic self.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, fellas, do your Kegels.
And guys can, yeah, same thing. Yeah.
Actually, we should
Wait, really? I was totally joking.
No. Guys, totally, too.
Every guy needs to do Kegels and girl. Every woman, man. It's great for your sex life and your longevity.
Yeah, we're
really?
Yes.
I said that at the, I don't remember which podcast, but it was all about if you do that, it'll also help separate orgasm from ejaculation with men.
And you're just talking about exercising your penis muscles?
Like, yeah, the stopping and starting of urine, like those muscles.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, when you're hard, if you can lift your penis, kind of like lift it with your muscles, that's a good sign.
Right.
Plus, it's fun to make it dance. Yes. I always clap.
I agree with that. That's definitely something that I've done when I'm bored by myself. Mm-hmm. I'll bet you all guys.
And
like, I'll bet you girls play with their boobs. Yeah.
Yeah. I touch them for comfort, or when I'm scared, I'll just totally grab my chest. I don't know why, but it's like.
When I'm I don't know. Maybe this is TMI, but sometimes I just hold my boobs when I'm like sitting on my computer or reading, or I just put my hand in my shirt.
That's totally what I would do.
Yeah. Right? Why not?
Yeah. Do you do like an undercut? No, I don't. Like, how do you cup your breasts? Because I kind of do like a top in, like I'll press down and then in for some reason.
Yeah.
Do that?
Yeah. I kind of want to do it.
But if someone did that to me, I'd be really annoyed. But for some reason, if I do it to myself, it's fine.
It's comforting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Man, I just want boobs for one day. You know what I mean? I just want to know what that's like. All day. I wouldn't leave the house. There's no way.
Awesome. Well,
but yeah, and it, just real quick to come back to your nerve pathways. So yeah, there's one nerve pathway. We were talking about this, I think, recently. There's one nerve pathway that gets all the external stuff, like the clitoris, the outside of the anus, the outside of the vagina.
I think the pudendal nerve does that.
Yes. And then there's another nerve pathway that's all the deeper structures. And what's interesting is both of these nerves pass through the G-spot, and it's the only that's the only area that both intersect.
Interesting. Yes. I didn't know that. I love having sex educators on because they teach me things. That's amazing, which is funny because, as I mentioned in the G-spot TMI, I think I don't get much G-spot sensation, and so then I feel dead inside a little bit. So what's going on with my body? How am I wired? Oh my God, what if things got rewired in the development of me as a fetus since I get so much G-spot sensation anally but not vaginally? What if it all goes through my, the perineal sponge instead? Holy shit. I'm completely just trying to figure out.
But in my classes, I show pictures of all this stuff in the nerve pathways and explain how it all works.
Where did you find the pictures?
They're Sherry Winston's.
Oh, okay. From
her book. I use her drawings. They're amazing. And
the women's.
Great. Yeah.
The female.
The Women's Anatomy of Arousal.
Thank you. The Women's Anatomy of Arousal. It's a red book. It's really fantastic. There's so many wonderful illustrations in it. I did see a lot of amazing stuff. And she's got the clitoral legs and then the vestibular bulbs underneath. And I'm vestibular bulbs. That's erectile tissue, my friend. In the lady bits. Okay. That's a lot of nerding out. Okay, so we're going to pause for a second, and then we're going to bring in Will.
Yeah, so, I did stand up at the Air Sex Championships, where people pantomime having sex for prizes. What was surprising was that, like, you know, I did stand up at the beginning, and it never would have occurred to me that that the people who went to the Air Sex Championships in Echo Park might be a little closed off. But half of what I talked about was that if I were going to perform air sex, then I would fuck a man because I've never had sex with a man and I'm horrified of it. Like, I'm terrified. I mean, granted, I'm not attracted to men, but I'm curious. I want to know what that's like. Mm-hmm. So, and I literally heard like five people in the audience go, ugh, what's wrong with you? It's we're in Los Angeles in the state of California in America in 2011. Calm down.
Yeah.
Like, men have sex with men. Did you know that? Yeah. They're allowed to do that. Everyone can vote. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, are we to be honest? Yeah. But wait, why is it horrifying? Like, why would you mimic that? Just because it'd be a little bit like it would take you like, creatively. You just go.
Yeah. I'd get to play around with. I would totally. Also, it's funny to me. I think it's funny because it makes people uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I name my sketch group Women. Because mm-hmm. like. I like to mess with people's idea of gender and mm-hmm. sexuality and what's okay. Mm-hmm. So it's half making the homophobic people feel uncomfortable and half because I'm genuinely curious how I would act if I were having sex with a man.
I'm imagining hardcore porn face.
And if I had definitely hardcore porn face, like real angry, like I would picture that it was my father. I would have sex with my father is what I'm saying. And I would bottom.
So you'd be crying by the, oh, you'd bottom.
I, in
That'd
my,
be less interesting though, because you'd be a little bit more passive.
I would just have to. Well, not necessarily.
Oh, so you just make faces and.
Benefit. Yeah. Well, maybe I would switch it around. Yeah. Ooh. When I was thinking about it on stage, I was thinking I would pitch for sure. But now, if I gave it a little bit more thought, it would be more interesting to me to know how I would act receiving anal sex.
That'd be such a challenge. I don't know if I'd feel really weird. I'd have to make it comedic if I wanted to compete in this. Because if I did it seriously, yeah. It'd be really.
One of the guys, his name was D-Bone, so there we go. And he was wearing a bathrobe, stunna shades, and a gold chain. And he did it to the sexy, it was like to Eye of the Tiger or something like that. Or like, are you ready for some football? Like something like that. And he just like ripped off his bathrobe at one point. He had a American flag top hat hanging from his Speedo, which he put on. And then his whole thing was just this weird over-affected thrusting. Uh-huh. So it was more, it was like a workout video. It was like watching Richard Simmons have sex. Or no, he's probably very tender. But,
but that was like, thoughtful. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was definitely comedic. One of the guys claimed that he had never had sex before. And he.
Did he win?
No, he did not win. He lost because it was very awkward. But his thing was he was slow dancing with a girl like this, like with his arms straight out, touching her waist.
Awkward
and
I was
on the side
dancing.
Like, oh, my God, is he at a middle school dance? Yeah. And then just from kissing her, he came a bunch of times. And afterward, they were like, so how old were you? And he was like, I was 15. We're like, oh, that's disgusting. We just saw pedophile air sex. We just saw two 15-year-olds have sex. That's disgusting.
I don't think you have to make air sex funny. It sounds like it would be funny.
It's funny.
In itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To add any more would be too much.
So, right.
My opinion.
So I should just
a rim shot.
Play it straight.
Yeah. Play it straight. You're going to look funny. I mean,
it's true.
You don't need to add insult to injury, as they say.
Especially because, like, yeah, no matter how hard you try, it's not going to look completely natural.
No. Not
unless like- you're just a pro masturbator.
Well, I do get paid from time to time. No. Right. No. Right. What? No.
I do parties. All mitzvahs.
So
I masturbate at every party I've ever been to.
Show off.
So we have in the studio Will, Lara's partner. Welcome, Will, to the program.
Hi there.
Hi. Whoa.
I'm going to be the sexiest guest you've ever had.
Okay. You have some stiff.
You
have some stiff competition.
I better
back off, buddy.
She's made a pun. I hope you're okay.
Stiff competition.
I'm not a fan of the puns, so.
I like a good pun sometimes.
As long as they're not misogynist.
As long as the pun is not misogynist, right. Absolutely.
We're referring to jokes you made when the microphones were off, so don't feel alienated.
For podcasts at all. I listen to podcasts and jokes referring to jokes that happened off the podcast are never, never funny.
Right. Very awkward. It's in the podcast Bill of Rights.
Yeah. It's really bad.
Oh my God. There should be. Okay. Yeah. So, hi. Okay. So, Lara, hello. How was your break?
It was great.
Yes. Okay. We all had snack food.
I had chocolate.
Excellent.
Mine was terrible.
Yeah.
It was violent. Yeah.
Ugh. It wasn't a cupcake. Wait, you had a cupcake.
I had a cupcake.
It was coconut.
Yeah, it was great.
He picked up all the most beautiful cupcakes in the world, and he chose coconut. And I don't know.
Coconut's delicious.
I just...
The world's smallest cupcakes I've ever seen.
It's true. They were tiny.
Shaved coconut is one of my least favorite things.
Oh, I
hate coconut. So I guess... I shouldn't judge, but I can't judge.
So you want unshaved coconut?
Unshaved.
You prefer unshaved?
Yeah, au naturel.
I like
coconut.
How you keep it in context.
Right. Yeah.
As I mentioned earlier, I did meet Laura through a friend and learning that she was a sex educator in the area. And when I started getting to know Will and Laura as a couple, we started talking, and I actually found out that they had some really interesting conversations when they first started dating. And I'm really just want to talk, because you haven't talked about this yet on the program. I keep calling a program, a show, podcast, whatever.
I like the word program.
I listen to a lot of NPR, but that's
the quiz program.
Yeah. Left, right, and center. That sounds like an anatomy lesson. Oh, there's a title for it. Okay, anyway. So when you two first started dating, tell me, what was the conversation like in terms of a possible relationship?
Do we actually have a conversation, or we just get right to it?
Well, eventually.
We usually, you know, act first, then talk. That's how we.
Well, I think pretty early, maybe like that first day that we hung out, I was like, I'm into having an open relationship, and that's what I'm looking for right now.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? You just met me and already you're looking at other guys? Like, what is that about?
Did it feel like that?
It did feel a little bit like that. Uh-huh. But, I don't know. The definition of open implies you're open and honest about the fact that you may be attracted to other people, and doesn't necessarily mean, hey, I like her, I'll see you in a few, you know, and come back and, mm-hmm. you know.
And I wasn't really sure what I meant by that. I just knew I didn't want something traditional.
I don't know what I said it. I don't know what I meant.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know what that would look like or how it would play out, but I knew that because I had a couple long-term relationships a few mm-hmm. years that, you know, didn't work out, and just I didn't feel like I fit into that mold. Mm-hmm. And then I just somehow became aware, like, oh, there's other ways to do this, and you can have multiple partners, or you can be really honest, and you can talk about attraction toward other people and be okay with that. And so I knew I wanted something. I didn't want to feel like I had to be in this box of monogamy and like kind of that traditional thing that we have in America, like you get married and, you know, have one partner for your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
That scares me.
Till death do you part.
Oh, okay, death. So you guys start Christian then? Is that what we're talking about? I didn't realize there would be non-Christians on this show.
Sorry.
Great.
Is this a Christian sex podcast?
It is.
That'd be amazing. I would love
that. I think
them.
That exists, actually.
I'm sure it should.
I hope so.
It doesn't.
Yeah. It better exist.
Nerdist.
Everybody.
Missionary, the only position.
Oh, come now. Lots of religious people in committed relationships have wonderful
sex.
And some of them don't. So it's both ways. I'm the voice of sex positivity sometimes, and sometimes. Actually, sometimes Dave's the voice of sex positivity when I start getting kind of sassy.
Sure.
So it's kind of funny how we, you know, anyway.
I am just joking. I mean, I would believe that people who are religious have good
sex.
Oh,
no, I know, sure. I know, I know. No, one time we joked about Mormonism and Mormon... like sex, somewhere in there we joked about it, and it went off, and not you and me, but like I think it was
they're the ones with the hole in the sheet, right?
Yeah, them. Yeah, those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys with the hats. They wear hats. I can't remember.
Yeah, and the curls.
That's not what Mormons do.
They do all, you're lying.
Okay, I should have taken you seriously. That was my mistake.
We went off for a few minutes, and then I'm like, okay, guys, like Mormons are whatever. Like it's positive, and I did like something sex positive.
Yeah.
And then I got this wonderful email from a Mormon person who started feeling really uncomfortable during the joking part. And then when I called it back, like, okay, but they are cool too. And he totally was like, it just made me feel so welcome to your podcast.
Oh, that's great.
And so we started getting kind of weird because people make jokes, and then it just sort of dissipated when we just like brought it around. So
Mormons are the nicest people you'll ever meet.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
It's true.
I don't know. Buddhists are pretty cool too.
They have egos. Buddhists. Oh, Buddha.
They do. Oh, I'm perfect.
Nothing phases me.
Oh, yeah? What about moderation? Whatever.
So true.
Well, I
don't actually know one Buddhist, so
I don't know what Buddhism is.
I don't even know how to spell it.
I don't know where I am.
I'm a closet Buddhist.
Really?
I'm coming out of the closet now.
You're only a Buddhist in the closet.
Yes.
When you get your clothes out.
It's a metaphor. It's a
nice closet.
Bringing it back to the conversation. One thing that you said, Laura, that really struck out to me. Yeah. It wasn't violent
totally
in my brain.
It stuck out to me.
Three strikes. So
was that it's not an open relationship? Is it not necessarily just about like possibly having other partners, but it's also the openness to actually say, "Hey, I am attracted to other people." I feel like there's so much people go into this sort of assumption that we're all agreeing that you can only be attracted to or love one person, and then if you do have feelings or tingly, warm, fuzzy feelings for somebody else, like that's shut that shit down, keep it secret, block it away. This isn't right. Or am I having an emotional affair? Like there's just all these weird feelings come up and we don't have any place to put that kind of feeling. So,
or yeah, we shut it down. Or what happens so often is that you do it secretly. You're like, oh, wait, I have these feelings. I'm not supposed to have them, so I can't tell my partner, but I'm going to act on them anyways and have an affair and lie and cheat.
Yeah.
So why not just be out with all of it?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you don't have to lie. What a relief.
So you bring this up to Will, and Will, you kind of had like a moment of like, oh, my God.
I was like, oh, that's awesome. Wait a second. I'm supposed to propose that, not her. So, I mean, that's where you realize, okay, it's totally ego. Most of that stuff is about fear. You know, if they're interested in someone else, it's a threat to what we have. That's usually what it comes down to.
And totally summed it up. It really is fear.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Underneath it all.
Underneath it all. Sounds like a song. But there's like a whole underneath it all. I don't know. There's something there.
It's a No Doubt song, right? Down.
Maybe.
Okay. Call Gwen.
Yeah. I forgot what I was saying. I got distracted by No Doubt.
Well, Gwen is
about fear. We're talking about how it's about fear.
That's true.
And so, like, that struck you. And then, how did you?
Well, no, I was going to say society and all the movies and all that stuff is, you know, you find the one. You know, like, there's never, and there's been two movies this last year that No Strings Attached. And what was the other one?
Friends with Benefits? Yeah. Was that the other one?
And I didn't see the one with JT. We saw the other one, and they're always like, oh, we're just going to have, you know, be F buddies. And I don't know why I said F. I can say fuck, right?
Fuck bees.
That's right. We can be fuck bees, and cute. We're fuck bees. But, you know, eventually we'll end up together, only together, one on one, you know, and it never has a story of like, you know, we can actually be attracted to other people and maybe be open to other things. It's always that whole story, the romantic story. So, it's perpetuated by, you know, like you said, marriage and all this stuff and the way society and religion, blah, blah, blah. I sound boring.
And I just want to say, you're not boring. You're just being honest.
No, I feel like I'm going through a list.
And that kind of fairy tale thing is nice, and it's very pervasive, and there's something kind of nice and comforting about it, and it works for some people. So it's not to say like we're talking down about marriage and monogamy, but that's not what we choose.
It perpetuates what I'm saying is those kind of things perpetuate your thoughts of going, well, she says open relationship, but wait, I mean, that's not what everyone else is doing. And that's, you know, that's true with homosexuality or whatever it is. There's that sense of like, well, if everyone keeps saying it's not right, then it must not be right. You know, there's a part of you that still wants to fit in, you know, and not, but I think there's a movement in this direction. And the people that are a lot of people that are afraid of it also see it as like this swinger thing where it's like, oh, crazy, anything goes. And the truth is you're actually more honest and communicative in this dynamic because you're able to express everything that's going on. And a lot of times you would act on something and you won't just because you released it and told her. You're like, oh man, I can at least talk about this.
Like, it really, all that tension in a relationship, when you just actually express the thing that you think is just such a huge thing, like, oh, I have feelings for this person, or I'm feeling less sexual towards you right now because, or whatever, like that like dark buildup of feelings, if you actually just say it, you just totally want to just go for frozen yogurt after because you feel so good and you're like hugging after because you expressed yourself.
Like taking a big poop.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
No, you don't want to constipate yourself.
It's true.
I'm doing that right now.
Okay. Yeah. Good for you.
Thank you. Thanks, man.
You're a Zen pooper.
Oh, yeah.
Be proud.
A Buddhist pooper.
Yeah, I'm a closet pooper. Poop in the closet. That's what I'm saying.
Now let's bring this back to sex. Out of the poop. Out of the poop.
Hey,
well, it could be. Well, the Venn diagram of poop and sex is interlocks.
Yeah, there's a middle is a vicious circle.
Is someone's face. I'm not sure who's.
What? I think it's Gigi Allen. I think it's Gigi Allen's face. Whoa.
I only know one person who's into scat play, but I won't out them because I don't know if they're out.
Dave Ross.
Does anybody know anybody into scat play? No. Any friends? Or
that's the, like, that's the one thing that I think is wrong. And I think no, there's that's the one thing I
do. Children, the Bible does children and animals okay, yeah, but not.
No, no. No, I'm saying of like things that are generally, because, you know, urine doesn't bother me that much, but it, like, poop is just like, what are you going to do with all that?
No, that's a strong no for most people.
Right.
Like, there's definitely, it's generally a strong no.
Yeah. It's gross.
Definitely pooping on children and animals. Like,
yeah. I like to poop on children and animals. That's my fetish. Yeah. Wow.
That's what I said. Children. I don't do that. But if you do it, that's cool.
No, it's not.
Oh.
Pooping on children? Not cool. Okay. It is not cool.
I thought this was an accepting environment. I'm sorry. I went too far with that.
It's, what if it's non-sexual pooping? I mean, because...
On a child.
What if they're like, that's fine. No, yeah.
It's still abuse.
That's true. Okay. It's, I like to play with consent and
what if it's just
sexual?
A power dynamic? What if you just want to make the child feel bad? Is that bad?
Look, kids,
there's no sex in it at all.
Kids love poop, all right? If they're willing, they'll be like, you know, whatever. They love their own poop. They're not.
I am officially derailing this tangent back to the topic because this is, says, I apologize, listener, friend.
Edit point.
Sex nerd, edit point.
They came down this road with us.
Possibly.
It's funny.
Yeah, that was amazing. Okay, so.
Moving on.
No, I. So you two talk about your feelings toward, like, it's difficult though. It's not super easy to just suddenly be in an open relationship. I mean, just, I've tried to open up relationships in the past in terms of just communication, let alone.
Well, that's
possibly
when you start at the beginning. And that's the thing, is that's the easiest way. Like when you move in together, you pick your own apartment together as opposed to like, mm-hmm. okay, now I'm moving to my apartment. Mm-hmm. Not a great analogy, but. At least you're establishing that together. Like from the beginning, we knew where we were, you know, mm-hmm. as opposed to like, hey, I want to be in an open relationship 2 years in. Like, what the, you're like, am I not enough? Like, it's much more difficult, I think, but it still can be done. I'm just saying if everything's in the brochure, mm-hmm. you know, you can enjoy the
sure
vacation.
And it's not an easy place to go. I mean, it was new territory for both of us in a lot of ways. So it was kind of like, we've been doing incremental steps, and mm-hmm. that first and foremost was like open, honest communication. You're allowed to express anything and it's okay, whether it's like a desire or a feeling towards someone else, mm-hmm. you can express that and it's not going to be a problem. Like I might react in some way, but in the end, it's all good.
And that means you're able to express. I mean, that's the problem with most relationships in general, beyond sex, is the lack of the fear that the other person's not expressing. Mm-hmm. And my past relationships were all non-expressive relationships. So I'm still breaking free of that. So like, wait, you're actually telling me everything you feel? What? Are you sure? You know, like you double check that because you're so, you know.
Right.
You know,
that sounds
programmed.
It's cutting edge. You mean you tell each other everything?
Well, and some people don't think you should. They're like, you talk to the guy, don't tell your girl everything. She gets all freaked out. You know, like, I know guys, literally, that's how they talk. And they're like, nah, you gotta, you know, you say that, and then you start opening a can of worms. But like, if you really feel like the person loves you and that they're going to be honest with you, then they're not going to go into a headspace of like, oh, he told me that. So that means hopefully, unless they're completely neurotic and they haven't completely dealt with their, they're taking responsibility for their own fears and feelings.
Huh. So technically, even if a couple decides to remain monogamous, they can have an open relationship in that they agree that they can talk about all their feelings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's amazing. I actually am really into that. And that never clicked until right now, how intense that is just even in a monogamous relationship to actually say like how you're feeling toward other people.
Well, the word open relationship has been commandeered. Oh, you're in an open relationship? Really? You guys have sex with other people all the time? What's that like? Can I come over and watch? You know, like, well, no, open, it just implies that you're not closed. You know what I mean?
It's almost like a test. Like if you actually want to sleep with other people as a step at some point, you could see, like, can we actually have a communicative and emotionally open relationship first?
Right.
Yeah. And then once we establish that for a while, then we can maybe further the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, you can't jump ahead and go like, yeah, I'm inviting my friend's sister over tonight. You know, let's do it. I'm like, well, we haven't really
communicate about whether you're going to like take out the garbage or not. You know, whatever it is. That's a bad example. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if how you feel generally. How am I going to know how you're going to feel if a girl comes over and,
right.
you know, it makes it a little more complicated. You want to be like the two of you are locked and loaded. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? First.
And then there's
you like
this
that
whole
expression, locked and loaded.
Locked and loaded, then made me laugh.
I don't know where my expressions are coming from, so.
Yeah, there was like an apartment metaphor. There was something about driving, I think.
Oh my God. I never heard myself so clearly before.
I'm feeling a lot of bro love across the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting along great.
Especially a guy with the t-shirt says legalize gay on it, too.
Oh, yeah. My shirt says legalize gay. Everyone who's listening.
So, yay.
Yeah.
It's my favorite shirt.
It's a great shirt.
Yeah, if you're Facebook buddies with Dave, you get to see a lot of legalized gay pictures.
Yes.
Yes. Because before you came on the podcast, I was like, okay, let me make sure this guy's like not insane. And then I was like, wow, he's really into legalizing gay. I appreciate that. You know,
and it's a weird.
What, I'm Facebook stalking?
I'm into legalized gay. Legalizing gay is funny. As if gay in general is illegal. Yeah.
Well, I mean, but that shirt says that. I mean, that is a good point. It's mm-hmm. like, can I just be gay completely legally under laws? Like, mm-hmm. that's all there is to it. And putting it that way makes it a lot clearer.
It is. People. Yeah, it's a harsh statement. Absolutely. But that's for another time.
Harsh,
I think.
Harsh or strong?
Strong. Yeah.
I think people are really interested in this open relationship discussion, so I'm going to bring that back. Sometimes I listen to podcasts. I'm like, where? Come on, they were just getting into it.
Oh, thank you. Wow, that was. Thank you for shouldering some of the responsibility.
Thank you, man.
Well, you know, we were locked and loaded.
Wow, that really brought it back.
You know?
So, I don't know. Like, that to me is so huge. Like, what you two just said to me. Because I've been talking to a lot of people who are polyamorous or swingers or in open relationships or however they use their words. And that was, like, a really great thing. Personally, I find that very helpful. I mean, but have you run into pitfalls or problems along the way in terms of, like, do you have moments where you're like, oh shit, should I say this? Will this trigger this person if I tell them this thing?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
For
me, this is like doing this is a spiritual practice almost. It's a practice for dealing with my shit. So yeah, I get jealous. I'm like, oh yeah, tell me. And then I'm like, oh man, shit, that makes me jealous. Mm-hmm. Okay, but I can verbalize that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I feel a little jealous or a little insecure about that. And it doesn't mean that what he's feeling is wrong or, you know, like he can't feel that way. It gives me an opportunity to look at my stuff and like, where does that come from? Mm-hmm. Like, because usually jealousy is not really about what's going on in the moment. It's about past hurt. And mm-hmm. so you get to dig through this stuff and you're welcoming the triggers. You're like, okay, bring it on. Like, where's my edge with this?
Ooh, I love that you're aware of triggers. I just started becoming very aware. I just started becoming very aware of triggers. And if you don't know what I mean by that, it's like, when somebody says something and you suddenly like freeze up or see red or sure. suddenly you can't think as clearly, that usually means it's bringing up something for you. And to be aware of those moments, whether it's at the office or with your partner or just when you're driving your car, like that person just cut me off and I totally freaked out. Why? Like, why am I so angry? What does that mean to me? And really just delving into that, like, I'm so into that.
Mm-hmm. Taking responsibility for yourself. What?
Yeah.
I really like what you just said, Laura, because I actually like I'm a jealous guy. I get jealous fairly often when I'm dating a girl. Mm-hmm. And there's a total reason for it. Mm-hmm. I dated a girl who, you know, the being cheated on, like in retrospect, doesn't bother me as much as feeling like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I just felt like I was fucked with, you know, cool. So. And it always messed me up and it would drive me crazy because, you know, I mean, it's usually not something that's going on in the moment. And I know that consciously. So if I'm with a girl and she's doing something that's making me jealous or just the situation or whatever, you know what I mean? I'm like freaking out inside. But then my last girlfriend, every single time I felt jealous, I would just tell her because I sort of figured like, well, if you're going to dump me, fine. You know, like then this isn't going to work out because I need to not feel like this all the time. Mm-hmm. And it was, I mean, that wasn't technically an open relationship, but it helped so much. It helped me, my mental stability. Just saying how you feel is, I don't know.
It's practicing a muscle. It's like working. It
really
working
is.
It out.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like with her, if I know that she's going to tell me she's jealous, then I don't have to constantly worry if she's jealous. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I did something over here. Is she jealous? And she's like over there, like not even noticing anything. You know what I mean? Right. And then, you know, I can actually live in front of her without fear. And then if she's jealous, she'll tell me. And you're developing a confidence too in
yes.
your partner being direct about what they feel.
I feel like jealousy is more of a symptom than the disease. Like in the flu, like a sniffly nose is just a symptom of the fact that you have the flu. And I feel like jealousy is a symptom of something. So when you say like, I'm jealous, you usually go further and be like, what, like, where is that coming from? Like, what is the root cause of that jealousy?
Yeah. And for me, I mean, really, jealousy isn't so much of an issue as like, I've also been cheated on in like crazy ways. And, so I get to this place where I'm like, I don't feel safe. And it might manifest as jealousy, or it might just manifest as like not trusting or anger. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I don't feel safe because I'm not informed.
Right.
And my whole thing is the more informed I am and the more communication there is, the safer I feel. And then I know there's couples that have open relationships and they don't want to know everything. Like their style is, you know, when he's off doing his thing, he's off doing his thing, and I don't want to know the details. I'm the opposite. I'm like, I want to know everything that's going on along the way, because that makes me feel safe and secure.
We have that both yeah. have that in common.
So it's figuring out what your triggers are and then working those in. So it's not like, oh, well, this is your trigger and so deal with it. It's like, no, this is your trigger. Let's honor it and find a way to bring balance in the relationship so you can feel safe and comfortable and secure without, you know, having your stuff come up all the time. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people love the mystery, and they afraid if they talk too much about things, they'll kill the romance or the sexiness of it. Mm-hmm. I don't actually find that to be true.
It kind of lights the fire a little
bit. Yeah, it's like, oh, what? We're just talking right about what's going on right now. Oh my God, you're attracted to me. I'm attracted to you. What? Okay. Like, it's hot. Or, no, I'm sorry, I'm not interested. Well, that kills that. That means I don't have to like, you know, knock on that door anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like when you're flirting and people are like, oh, I like this person so much. Don't mention that you think they're so cool, because then it will be really embarrassing. But if you just go, hey, I think you're really cool, or like, you're looking good today, it generally makes them flush with positive hormones and feelings because they feel accepted by you, and will actually probably help make them like you more. I mean, not that you should do it manipulatively, but if you feel it, say it. So it's like actually a really good thing to, you know, harbor.
I like that.
Yeah,
a good
I find it so helpful.
If you feel it, say it. If you feel it, you could have that.
Yeah.
Because you said it. But I think you should market it. That's what I'm saying. Make a t-shirt.
Make money.
Dave could wear it.
If you feel it, make money.
Why do you have to bring money in, Dave?
There we go.
Such a capitalist.
I love money.
We're going
to have piles and piles of money at my house. Just collect money. And STDs.
Around.
Instead of,
well, he collects them.
I collect them. Yeah.
Collects them.
In jars.
Like, yeah. Yes. I have a trophy case filled with STDs.
Oh.
Wow.
There's something you don't want to accidentally fall over overnight.
There's a house.
Or
you
do you? I actually
syphilis.
This is a total tangent, and I apologize, but I was bored the other day, so I started searching just random questions on Yahoo Answers. And one of the things I searched for was, are my balls dead? Because I thought that was funny. But then another one of the, and I actually found one where the guy was like, I think one of my balls is dead. And everyone called him a she-male. It was really...
That's so sad.
It was very sad. It wasn't nice at all.
Wow.
Then one of the things I searched for was, when does semen die? And I found this guy who was like, if you freeze it, will semen die? And I'm like, holy crap. And I read this thing, and the guy was saying, we were talking about, I thought of this because you said the word jars. That's, wow.
That's
with
sexy.
You, I think.
I need to bring in this question for us to talk about, because he has been saving semen since he was 12 years old in jars. He keeps them in a refrigerator in his room, and he is curious if the semen ever dies because he wants to start a sperm bank. So it's like an entrepreneurial reason why he's doing this. And then I said this at Holy Fuck, and Kumail Nanjiani pointed out that that's the worst sperm bank ever because it's only one person's sperm. Yeah. But this is something that this guy does. He said he had 5.5 jars of semen in a refrigerator.
I don't think that's a question for another. I think we can handle this right now. That's crazy.
I think that question answered. Thank you so much, Sandra. That was great.
What we're saying is, so in an open relationship, how many jars of semen?
We collect a jar every week if we've been communicating.
It's a good week.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
It's a mixture of tears and cum.
I have no idea what we're at in terms of time, and I have no idea if I'm going to even keep this in the show, but I'll just say, tangent on that, I was in a long-distance relationship for a few months, and as a romantic gesture, my partner packed like this whole box of stuff, and he started saving his cum in a jar.
Whoa.
I like this hand motion with that.
Yeah, I totally just jerked off.
I didn't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, unless he like humped something. I don't know how he came. Well, I probably knew. And so he sent me this little jar full of like cum, and it fucking reeked. Like,
yeah.
I died. Like, the whole box, and it was it was horrifying. So that went in the trash, but I was touched by the gesture and horrified. I don't know if I told him because it was so sweet and he'd really
now
worked
you did.
On it. Oh, I don't know if he listens to this.
I don't think most people would have had the touched part of that. That's the horrified.
Well, because he really saved it up and he's like, I did this for you. And it was... Because okay, if it didn't smell horrible, I'd be like, this is fascinating. What is how many times did you come? So like how many licks does it take to get to the middle of a tootsie pop? It's like how many jerk offs.
As soon as you said lick and we're talking about cum, it's just immediately visuals are out of
immediately
control.
Got hungry.
You're like, this, I'm horrified. You chug the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. No. Oh.
It's funny. Okay.
We're really testing the limits for each other right now. Yeah. Huh? You know, I realize I was just saying that was gross. I probably shouldn't say that. I'll bet you there are people that are into that and would be touched and would love that. Mm. But I just imagine myself getting a jar of semen in the mail. I would not be jazzed.
No.
I mean,
no.
If you love
jazzed
your partner,
by the jizz. No.
Yeah. I wouldn't be jazzed.
You're not jazzed. You're jizz.
I'm not a jazzed kind of guy.
Jizz
hands. All right.
No, I did think it was really sweet, and that doesn't really usually gross me out, but that the scent was not okay. But anyway, I'm just saying, you know, people are sweet sometimes. And,
yeah.
And they male mean well.
It was totally meant well. Yeah, it's just it doesn't keep is what I'm saying in the fridge. I haven't frozen.
But
so
isn't the point that semen dies? I mean, pretty fast right after you ejaculate, correct? I mean, I'm wrong here, right?
All
right.
Yeah,
it lasts for a while. It'll live at least an hour. But you want to
outside the
body.
Mm.
Yeah.
I know that.
But so then 5.5 years is probably out, right? Like 5 to 6.
Can't I don't know about frozen. I just know that I had a friend who was going to have their sperm tested by a fertility bank, but this particular place they didn't have. Rooms where you could jerk off, so he had to do it at home and then drive it to them. So he had the window of an hour.
Oh.
I just remember that. So that's
and then they probably put it in cold storage, right? Or something, or just right into a woman.
But I mean, obviously, the sperm bank they do
fresh, bring it in,
Cynthia. But of course, they do freeze sperm at sperm banks. So, yeah. But I think I would think you'd have to monitor the temperature right and do all kinds of stuff. I'll have to look into that. Now I want to know. You gave me homework. Okay. So,
sorry.
I've had a really great time on this show. Thank you. Oh, en français, huh? Ooh.
Occasionalmente? I don't know. Occasionally.
Spanish.
So,
Pig Latin.
Oh, okay.
Laura and Will, thank you very much for coming. I know, Will, you're out in the world as an actor. You're like the Yoganator.
Don't tell
stuff.
Anyone.
Throw some
the
websites.
Yoganator, what's
don't
that?
Tell anyone.
Throw
tell
some
everyone.
Websites at us.
TheYoganator.com. Mm-hmm. WillShivers.com. Just go to WillShivers.com for all your Will Shivers needs.
Awesome.
The Yoganator's on there, and I just completed a pilot that she produced in her downtime.
And so I just saw it, and I was blown away by the quality of it. Yeah.
What's it
Thank
called?
Thank you. It's called Functional Chaos.
Nice.
You can actually go to functionalchaos.com. I don't know why I do that voice, but every time I say it, I have to.
Well, I mean, functionalchaos.com. Yeah. Yeah,
there you go.
Sounds...
There it is.
You in a world of chaos, chaos, but also the need to work
and to function.
One website.
Awesome. And Laura, where can people find out about your work?
LauraCatone.com, LauraCatone.
LauraCatone.com. Did I say it wrong? I totally said
no,
Laura.
You got it.
Laura Cadone.
I still can't say it. I'm always like, la brah, just to make sure I say it right.
All right, so Laura Cadone. Okay, I'm so awkward. Okay, so LauraCadone.com. That's awesome. I don't have a SandraDoherty.com.
What?
You have SexNerdSandra.com.
SexNerdSandra.com. But I feel like the non-sex part of me, because I do other things.
What?
Like sometimes I travel and do things, but I don't really. I do have a blog that's not sex related, but like 5 people a day go to that, and that's fine with me because it's really just me being whatever. It's not important. Dave, where can people find out about you?
My website is davetotheross.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/davetotheross. And I have a comedy show in downtown LA every Tuesday called Holy Fuck. That's at 9 p.m. at the Downtown Independent Theater. The website is holyfuckcomedy.com.
Awesome. Yeah. And I'm Sex Nerd Sandra. You can also hire me to do personal coaching with you. I'm starting to do a lot of that over Skype. So it's actually really fun when I'm talking to people in other time zones and we talk about their feelings and stuff. So I'm doing that a lot and just workshops and doing all kinds of stuff. But mainly I'm just loving this podcast. So thank you so much for joining us. And oh, now we're going to put our hands in the middle and like shout out Go Team Fun because that seems to be a thing now.
Okay.
And maybe t-shirts someday.
You gonna count or do we
just we're just gonna look, we're awkwardly touching hands in
one,
the middle.
One, two, three, then go team.
Okay,
one,
here we go.
One, two, three.
Go team fun. That was really awkward.
A little awkward. It was a little awkward.
I just wanted to touch all of you.
Can we do that again?
Yeah.
Slower.
Sure. Jars of cum.
Now leaving nerdist.com.